During his first 6 years of study, his interests were concentrated on music and reading, but from the time he reached middle school age, he turned to the acquisition of languages, beginning with English and then French. In both cases, he taught himself enough to read simple books after 6 months of study. He had no intention of learning to converse in either language, of course. He wanted only to be able to read books. Another activity he loved was tinkering with complicated machinery. He bought a complete collection of professional tools, with which he was able to build radios and valve amplifiers, and he enjoyed taking clocks apart and fixing them. Everyone around him, which is to say his mother, his father, and his grandmother, Nutmeg's mother, became accustomed to the fact that he never spoke, and ceased to think of it as unnatural or abnormal. After a few years, Nutmeg stopped taking her son to the psychiatrist. The weekly consultations were doing nothing for his symptoms, and as the doctors had noted in the beginning, apart from his not speaking, there was nothing wrong with him. Indeed, he was an almost perfect child. Nutmeg could not recall ever having had to force him to do anything, or to scold him for doing anything he shouldn't have done. He would decide for himself what he had to do, and then he would do it, flawlessly, in his own way. He was so different from other children, ordinary children, that comparing him with them was meaningless. He was 12 when his grandmother died, an event that caused him to go on crying soundlessly for several days, after which he took it upon himself to do the cooking, laundry, and cleaning while his mother was at work. Nutmeg wanted to hire a housekeeper when her mother died, but Cinnamon would not hear of it. He refused to have a stranger come in and disrupt the order of the household. It was Cinnamon, then, who ran the house, and he did so with a high degree of precision and discipline. Cinnamon spoke to me with his hands. He had inherited his mother's slender, well-shaped fingers. They were long, but not too long. He held them up near his face and moved them without hesitation, and like a species of sensible living creature, they communicated his messages to me. A client will be coming at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That is all for today. There is nothing you have to do until she gets here. I will take the next hour to finish my work, and then I will pick her up and bring her back. The weather forecast predicts overcast skies all day. You can spend time in the well while it is still light out without hurting your eyes. As Nutmeg had said, I had no trouble understanding the words that his fingers conveyed. I was unacquainted with sign language, but it was easy for me to follow his complex, fluid movements. It may have been Cinnamon's skill that brought his meaning out so naturally, just as a play performed in a foreign language can still be moving. Or then again, perhaps it only seemed to me that I was watching his fingers move, but was not actually doing so. The moving fingers were perhaps no more than a decorative facade, and I was half-consciously watching some other aspect of the building behind it. I would try to catch sight of the boundary between the facade and the background whenever we chatted across the breakfast table, but I could never quite manage to discern it, as if any line that might have marked the border between the two kept moving and changing its shape. After our short conversations, or communications, Cinnamon would take his suit jacket off, put it on a hanger, tuck his tie inside the front of his shirt, and then do the cleaning or cooking. As he worked, he would listen to music on a compact stereo. One week he would listen to nothing but Rossini's sacred music, and another week Vivaldi's concertos for wind instruments, repeating them so often that I ended up memorizing the melodies. Cinnamon worked with marvelous dexterity and no wasted motion. I used to offer to lend him a hand at first, but he would only smile and shake his head. Watching how he went about his chores, I became convinced that things would progress far more smoothly if I left everything to him. It became my habit after that to avoid getting in his way. I would read a book on the fitting room sofa while he was doing his morning chores. The residence was not a big house, and it had minimal furnishings. No one actually lived there, so it never got particularly dirty or untidy. Still, every day, Cinnamon would vacuum every inch of the place, dust the furniture and shelves, clean the window panes, wax the table, wipe the light fixtures, and put everything in the house back where it belonged. He would arrange the dishes and the china.